Well, welcome to the Justin James Show. I am, again, your lovely host, your host with the most, Justin James. And you are, of course, you're listening to episode 3. That's right. We have done 3 of these so far. At least after we finish this, it would be 3. So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about a few things that kind of happened this week. I want to just kind of deal with about 3 different fun little snippets we want to talk about. And then I want to talk about one of the big things that I do is I study theology. And I love it. But there is a new theology that is now appearing on the scenes. And apparently it's kind of infecting, and I would say the word infecting, into evangelical or even more into a Protestant way of theology. Because it is important and because it deals with in ethics and culture and things like that, I feel like I need to address it. I need to talk about it. So I'm going to talk about that in this show as well. So I want to encourage you to go get your cup of coffee, come sit at the table. That's right. You're at Table Studios with Justin James Show, and get ready because we have a full jam-packed show just for you. And we're going to get started in 3, 2...
Justin James.
And welcome back to the Justin James Show. I am so glad that you have decided to join us. And it's going to be just a jam-packed show. Now, before we get started, there's a few things I want to talk about because they're fun to talk about. Why not, right? And if you decide to be a part of the program, if there's any information that I miss or if there's something you disagree with me or whatever it is, you can be a part of the show. Not actually live on the show. But you can email me at justinjamesshow@gmail.com. That's justinjamesshow@gmail.com. And you can put your opinions on there and I will answer you. I will respond to you. And I'll be glad to, if you want, hey, if you want to come on the program and you want to talk about it, hey, I'll hook you up and you can come on the program and we can discuss it. I have no problem with that because this show is about culture. It's about worldviews. It's about explaining ideas, but also in a Christian worldview. And so I'm always going to look at things in a Christ-centered way because that's what we have to do. We have to look at things in a Christ-centered way. So there's a couple of things. First thing right off the bat, there's a thing going around on Facebook. Apparently, a Baylor University was playing Texas Tech at, we call it the house that Jerry built. I live in DFW area, so because of that, I remember when this thing was built in Arlington. I actually used to live not far away from this spaceship. So if you know what I'm talking about, you will laugh too. So anyway, it looks like a giant spaceship. I always think of Al of Flight of the Navigator every time I drive by it because it kind of reminds me of that. If you remember that movie called Flight of the Navigator, you rock, okay? And if you've never seen it, go see it and then you will rock, okay? So anyway, this kicker, they were playing Texas Tech. Baylor was playing Texas Tech there, I think, at Cowboy Stadium, AT&T Stadium, a.k.a. the Cowboy Stadium, a.k.a. the house that Jerry built. Okay. So, and again, I'm not a sports guy, but I do look at certain things, and when I look at certain things, I try to sit there and say, okay, should that have been done? I don't know. Maybe it's wrong. Maybe it's right. I don't know. Okay. So anyway, this particular kicker, apparently, the Texas Tech band was still on the field, and apparently, because they were playing, and the rules were, I guess, that a band has a certain allotted time to actually play. So, and then they have to leave the field. Well, this Baylor kicker, I don't know his name, and if I did, I'm not going to publicize it, because I'm not going to really embarrass the dude that much. Okay, that was a pun. So anyway, he got on the field and he decided to practice kicking on the 50-yard line, almost. I think it's the 50-yard line. why the band was still out there playing. Texas Tech band was out there playing. Now, first of all, Baylor is supposed to be a Baptist Christian university. They are part of the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention. They're also part of the Texas Baptist or the Baptist General Convention of Texas, which is, there's two of them in Texas. I'm not going to go into details with that. But anyway, they are a Baptist religious school. And one of the things that I believe that I think that if you represent a school, especially something that has Christ on it, you need to represent Christ in all that you do. And I remember when Baylor, a couple of years ago, when all the firing and Ken Starr and all that got involved, because Ken Starr used to be the president of Baylor, you know, and honestly, it was extremely sad because Baylor built this really great football team. But because of the antics and because of some of the unethical things that were going on in that department, of course it needed to be cleaned out. And how sad it was, because, you know, I have friends that are very associated with Baylor. It was sad, but it needed to be done. It's the same thing we look at this particular kicker. There is a way of respect that we need to respect one another. And when you go out in the field to practice your kicking while the band is still playing, you are showing major disrespect to that other band. Plus, it's dangerous. You don't know what's going to happen. You're out there. You might have a guy with a big old tuba turn around and start hitting your way and knock you out with the tuba, which would have been hilarious. But you get my point. It's saying that, hey, you got to be careful. You just can't go out there. Or maybe he's out there and he's kicking and he runs into some flute player. You know, I don't know. But there has to be some safety boundaries with it. And I think that's super important. So listen, if you're listening to this, and if you're part of the Baylor administration, or if you are somewhat, listen, I think that kid, that player needs to be suspended. That's just my personal opinion. Because I'm not talking suspended like completely out of the season, but he definitely needs to sit down on a game, because he should have never been out there. It's dangerous for both. It's both dangerous for both parties and both schools. It was unprofessional, and it was a way that, you know what, it shouldn't have happened. And to sit there and to say, hey, listen, I'm going to represent Christ, but yeah, I'm going to do something that foolish, probably not a very good idea of a testimony, but you know, that's just me on that. Now, the second thing I want to talk about on that. Listen, I have heard some of the most ridiculous stories in churches. I've been around a lot of churches. I've had opportunities to preach and to do revivals and to interact with a lot of churches. And it's one of them. I love it. And I still am involved very strongly with churches. I've never heard what I'm ready to share with you. It was ridiculous. Okay. Apparently, there was some type of investigation going on in a church in Houston. And so these police officers go into this church, and they were going to do this investigation in this church. And they walk into this church, they go into this room, and they find a casino. A casino. They had slot machines. They had all kinds of stuff going on. And in this church in Houston, Texas, you know, right now, if you're like me, you're probably thinking about how in the world do they pay tithe? You have to be part of the, you know, the $1,000 club, the $100 club. You know, do you have to win a certain amount of money, put a certain amount of money in the church vault in order to be a member of the church? But seriously, it's like, what are we living? What are we doing? I mean, churches are supposed to be a place where we need to come and we need to worship the Lord, not set up shop for a casino. An illegal casino is that. But hey, you know, it's it's one of those things that just happens. And it's one of those things where, well, I guess it doesn't really happen. It's something you don't see every day, you know. Yeah, if I was the pastor of that church, I would hit myself with a Bible. I would have to, because it's like, what are you teaching your members? And if I was the elders or deacons or any type of administration and leadership of that church, you know, I would be extremely ashamed of myself, because you're there to represent Christ. You're there to set an example, not to run a gambling scheme at your church within that. But I want to encourage you to, with that, if you listen, churches are full of people, and people are people. But you know what? Jesus is Jesus, and that's where our hope needs to come from. We need to put our hope in Christ, not necessarily in people or necessarily in a organizational body of leaders. We need to put our hope in Christ, and hopefully the leaders do the same thing, and then they can come together, and then they can be able to build a organization that is amazing, that will go out and feed the poor, evangelize to the lost, and spend time ministering and discipling with one another. Not set up accounts, a casino in the basement of a church. I'm glad Ian's not here right now. He probably, but yeah, it's the $100 club. If you want to be a member, you got to pay $100 in the slot machines. Now the third thing I want to talk about, and apparently there is a individual, and actually, yeah, there's two individuals, I believe, and they just got elected to Congress. And I don't have their names, so please forgive me. I don't have their names on the top of my head and or in my front of my computer screen. But they're Muslim, and they wear the hijab. And one of the things they're doing is apparently Congress, the House, the U.S. House of Representatives, passed a rule about 181 years ago saying that no one should wear a hat or any type of head dressing on top of their head when they're on the House floor. It was 181 years ago, so if you think about it, that was probably during the Wild Wild West days, or yeah, probably about that. So you're probably, or even before. So apparently people were wearing these big old 10-gallon bucket hats or something on the floor. I don't know. But the reason why they did that, I guess, because they wanted to make sure that everyone is equal, or everyone has a certain standard or ethic on the floor. There's no one above or whatever, you know. I don't know. You have to go back and research it. Well, because these women are Muslims, and part of their teaching in Islam is that you wear the hijab, and part of the wear hijab is actually part of your works for salvation. Women do that because they're not supposed to expose their hair, because only their husband's allowed to see their hair. And so they have to wear this because it's something sacred to them. And that, listen, I'm not going to get into this negativity thing necessarily about Islam. I'll talk about Islam later. There's a lot of things in Islam, but I am a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus or Yeshua. And because of that, that's where I stand. And because I believe that the Bible is the holy word of God. And that is where I base my whole base on. So anyway, these ladies are trying to sit there and they're trying to say, hey, because we're not going to be able to remove the hijab. So the Democrats are going in, they're saying, hey, we want to change the rules of the House so that these ladies can wear their hijab. Well, guess what? If you are a House representative back a couple of years ago and you were Jewish, you were not allowed to wear the yarmulke. And so that's a little hat that goes on top. If you see a Jewish man wear it, they wear that because they believe that you need to cover your head, and that's how they cover their head. You know, when I was in Jerusalem and I was at the Western Wall, I had to wear one in order to walk into the holy place of the Western Wall because I had to cover my head. In other places too, in the Jewish culture, I had to wear my hat because they want you to wear a hat. They want you to cover your head. And again, that's just part of their religious and their culture belief. And I don't have an issue with it at all, necessarily. I think They actually put on a hat to pray, and we take off hats to pray. Anyway, but that's beside the point. What's going on is that the Democrats are saying, hey, we want to change these rules because we want to accommodate these women. Well, here's the problem I have with that. A lot of Christians have been trying to get through a lot of Christian ethical legislation. I probably butchered that. They want to get through Christian ethics through, and they want to be able to make sure that the Christians have a right to, not just Islam, not just Jewish, but the Christians. So the problem is saying, hey, why do we bend over backwards for these Muslim ladies, but yet you don't bend over necessarily backwards for us? Y'all are removing the Ten Commandments. Y'all are doing this. So I don't have a problem with them passing and saying, hey, this is what the House rules are. I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem is saying, hey, if you're going to do this, if you're going to allow these women to do this, you need to allow the Ten Commandments to be back up. Or you need to allow some other of the crosses to be back up. You cannot criticize a Christian for their belief and at the same time be hypocritical and say, well, we're not going to let the Christians do it, but we're going to let the Muslims do it. You can't have it both ways. You have to have equal peace or equal a fairness across the board. You can't do that. And so that's where I will draw the line on that, because hey, if they want to wear the hijab, let them wear the hijab. I have no problem with it. Let them wear it. That's cool. But you can't turn around and say Christians can't wear, if they want to wear a hat that says Christ on it, you can't tell them to take off their ball cap. I was reading one post that said all the Republicans should wear the MAGA hat, Make America Great Again hat, on the first day of Congress. Yeah. Anyway, that would be funny. But the point is saying you got to be fair across. Hey, I got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And then I'm going to get into the LGBT theology. I'm going to be talking about LGBT theology and diving in a little bit about that. So be right back after this.
You're listening to The Justin James Show.
Hey guys, this is Justin. With the football season already in full swing, I have to ask you, are you just watching your favorite team on TV? Or would you prefer the full experience, like you're right there on the field, by turning your living room into a fully surround sound media room? How? Well, it's simple. By calling Joe at Encore Home Theater at 469-877-3643. That's 469-877-3643. Joe has more than 25 years experience in the home theater business and will be able to answer any question you may have, and he'll get you the best price in town. No project is too small or too big for them. They'll come out just to help you mount a TV or create that perfect theater for you and your family. And with that big game just coming around the corner, now is the perfect time to call and set up that free consultation. That number is 469-877-3643, 469-877-3643. Encore Home Theater. Are you ready for game day?
Justin James.
All right, welcome back to the Justin James Show. And now I want to shift gears here a little bit. And now what I'm ready to get into, I want to let you know, first of all, that anytime you have a disagree with me, anything that you want to talk about, I want to encourage you, make sure you email me and we'll have that conversation at justinjamesshow@gmail.com. That's justinjamesshow@gmail.com. That should be in the description of the show. Because I'm actually going to get into some hot topic here. This is a hot topic, and within this. Now, the other thing I'm going to do is that I'm going to encourage you. Listen, if you love this show, Please share this with your friends. This is my third episode, and I'm going to keep on coming. I'm going to make sure this is the best show that you ever heard in your life, because that's my goal, is to make sure that we're giving you the best content, we're giving you best commentary, we're able to give you some great information, but also have fun with it at the same time. But you're going to be able to walk away with this refreshed and excited to live for Christ. That's really what this show is really about. And you are not alone. So, all right. So what is going on? There is several things some of my friends have been sending me. Apparently, there is a new theology that is actually starting to stir up within the evangelical community. And what they're doing is they're calling it, I guess, the official, I don't know if there really is an official word. One article said it's the LGBTQ whatever theology. And what they're doing is they're trying to bring in the LGBT type of thinking or ideas, and they're trying to bring it back or bring it into the church and saying, guys, this lifestyle is scriptural. Now, before we get started, I'm gonna have to draw a line in the sand here, because I first of all have to. Okay, so you know, I hope that if you're mad at me, I'm sorry, but I am what you call a conservative biblical Christian. Okay, so mainly what it is I look at the Word of God and I say the Word of God is the inerrant, the infallible. That means there's no mixture of error. Christian who says the Word of God is the Word of God, and because it's the Word of God, I have to live my life to the standard which God has provided for me within 66 books of what we know as the Bible, starting from Genesis all the way to Revelation, which 66 books, we got 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. That's where I live for, okay? The other thing is that because I'm a conservative, I look at it in a hermeneutical style, which is saying, hey, I'm going to look at it in the contents. I'm going to look at it as, hey, we're going to look at not just one particular verse and grab that one verse and run with it. We're going to look at the verses surrounding it, or the chapters surrounding that verse, or even some of the contents that that verse is going in. And then I'm going to also pull out the Greek and Hebrew of that particular verse, and I'm really going to dive into it, and I'm going to do all kinds of fun word studies with it. And a word study is not taking one word like love and then opening up a concordance and breaking it down and say, okay, how many words in love? Well, unfortunately, Greek has 5 words for love, but the English language only has 1 word for love. So we have to use adjectives and other ways to express what kind of love. I love my dog. I love my brother. I love my sister. Hey, I love my, and you're probably, hey, I love this podcast. So, but yet you're going to look at that. You're going to say, hey, you know, I love my mother different than the way I love this podcast. They're two different styles of love, but yet we're still with the word love. But anyway, so you have a lot of contents going into this. So I want to let you know where I stand on these issues, or where I stand before I dive into this, because I don't want you to necessarily say, oh, wow, okay. Now, when you look at what's going on with the LGBT community, one of the big things that everyone wants to do when you look at sin is the number one thing they want to look at sin is they want to be accepted. I sinned. Because I sinned, I don't want to repent. I don't want to say that I'm a sinner. But even though the Bible says that we all have sinned, and we've all fall short of the glory of God. But yet we sit there and we say, oh, well, what is this idea of sin? Well, sin is objective. No, sin is not objective. It is truth. We've all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. Because, again, I have to look at the Bible and I use that as my reference, okay? So here's what's going on. In the evangelical community, we see some of the things that are happening, and we're saying, hey, we look at the LGBT community, and we're saying, hey, well, guess what? We can live this lifestyle because we look at Scripture in a certain way that supports our lifestyle. Well, unfortunately, when you look at Scripture in itself, the whole Scripture, all 66 books of the Bible, it says it doesn't. So Now, let me tell you, I've met some of the most nicest people that are gay and lesbian, and you know, they are some of the coolest people, and I love hanging out with them. My heart literally just loves on them, and I have no problem of hanging out with people who I disagree with, at all. And but yet you're gonna know, hey, you know, we can be friends, but just know that I'm gonna disagree with your lifestyle. And I don't have a problem with someone necessarily, if they want to live a lifestyle of sin, if they want to live a lifestyle that I disagree with, they're welcome to do that. They have every right in our nation or the United States to live that lifestyle. They don't have the right to take that lifestyle and try to push it on me, or vice versa. Now, because I'm a Christian, I'm going to say, hey, listen, you could do whatever you want. If you don't want to believe in God, if you want to say, hey, the Bible's just made up of, you know, fairy tale stories, that is your prerogative. Now, I'm going to disagree with you, but that's okay. But so what happens now is that we are looking at that Christians and churches now are literally holding on to and saying, hey, listen, this lifestyle is now actually recorded in the Bible. Well, which is wrong. And now we have to go and we have to accept it. So now we're accepting sin, we're accepting false doctrine, which false doctrine is saying what the Bible is not actually saying. We're creating on reality of the Bible. And now we're bringing in our own personal thinking process. I personally believe this. I think Ben Shapiro says it best. Facts are facts. So you have to look at everything on a factual base. You cannot look at everything on an emotional base. And unfortunately, when you look at what's really going on, you have to look at these facts. And the facts are saying, listen, the Bible says this. I had one guy literally say, well, if you look in, you know, this, the reason why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah was because of their unloving to their neighbor. Well, he found that in, I think, Ezekiel 39 or 36, I think. Anyway, it was in Ezekiel. And I said, hey, did you see the verse in the same context below that where it talked about the sexual sin? And then if you go to Jude says the same thing. They died because of sexual sin. So you can't take one verse and you cannot do that. So what's happening now is because of the sexual or because of this, now we're even getting to the point where we're saying, hey, listen, because it's a divorce, hey, I'm going to justify it because my friends are divorcing. I had a friend who didn't like their husband, their husband didn't like their wife, and they didn't want to come together, and they don't want to necessarily do that. So because of that, they have justified because of a divorce because they stopped loving each other. Well, last time I checked, marriage is a covenant, a lifelong covenant between you, your spouse, and God in the middle. And I'm going to talk about marriage later on. I don't have much time on this show. So, but yet we have to look at that and we have to say, what is this going on? So now what they're doing is they're trying to take all kinds of different lifestyle and they're trying to take a square peg and they're trying to put it in a circle hole. And unfortunately, when you get into that, you get into problems. And that's what's happening. But what's even scarier is that we have Christians listening to this and they are accepting it. And they are literally trying to work around putting that square peg into that circle hole. Guys, ladies, listen, don't go down that road. Yes, one of the articles that I read, I think that I totally disagree with the author, but one of the things that the author said was, we need to be more loving and be more kinding to people we don't always, you know, we disagree with. I absolutely agree with that. That to me is really important. If you have friends that are Muslim, if you have people that are Muslim, love on them, guys. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You have to show dignity to people. Love on them. Don't just, you know, because they're different, don't just hate on them. Or don't make fun of them, you know, just understand them, listen to them, you know, spend time with them. You might actually learn something from them. I'm not talking about biblical truth, but I'm just saying you might learn more about them Take some time. As one of my great mentors always says, compassion meets the need. If you have compassion for someone and you look for that need, you're always going to have that opportunity to go in and share the real gospel, the real light and salt to these individuals. But no, it doesn't quite happen that way, because we immediately, we see something we don't like, we throw the wall up, or we get angry and we get bitter and we start attacking. Listen, don't do that. Just don't do that. So love. Listen, just try to love, but yet love in truth. And when we love in truth is we point them back to Scripture. And we say, listen, Scripture says this. They'll disagree with you. Say, that's fine. I still love you because you are a image bearer of Christ. That means God made you. And because God made you, you're special. You're living in life of sin, and God, Christ died for your sins. And because of that, he is going to do amazing things if you come to him and you repent and you say, listen, I am a sinner and I need Christ, because he is, first of all, he is the infinite God-man who came in the flesh and he bore all the sins of the world. He died on a cross. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Paul said it best. He said, listen, if it wasn't for the resurrection of Christ, we have no hope. Let's hold on to the hope of Christ, and let's spread that hope and that love and that sacrifice to one another. Can you do that for me? You're awesome. Guys, I love you, but I have to get going. Thank you so much for listening to the Justin James Show. I'm extremely blessed to have listeners like you. I'm extremely blessed. Please, if you have any questions or comments or anything that I said or whatever you disagree with, hey, email me, justinjamesshow@gmail.com. That's justinjamesshow@gmail.com. I got to run. God bless each and every one of you, and y'all have a great week. And we will see you at the same bat channel in the same bat time. Blessings.
Justin James.